budget, because the MPs returned from that battle. I'm talking about the elections. Many of them lost. The finance minister obviously won his seat, but he hasn't been to the House to present the mini budget. And what that means is there is a shutdown now that we can confirm will happen in the new year, because it was the final day today for the finance minister, Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam, to present the expenditure in advance of appropriation that would have averted a shutdown and ensured that public sector workers are paid. Well, the finance minister failed to show up, meaning the salaries of nearly 700,000 public sector workers is now in jeopardy. We'll bring you the happenings in Parliament pretty shortly. The Speaker of Parliament adjourned this, and my colleague Kwaku Asante is here with me. He's been in Parliament today. So the House has been adjourned. The Finance Minister did not show. When is Parliament returning?
The House is returning on the 2nd of January. And in fact, that was the only order of business. The Minister for Finance, he was expected to present this the mini budget. He did not show up, as he hasn't showed up since Monday to deliver this important document to the House. And so when the House corrected the votes and proceedings, that did all other outstanding issues having to do with documentations of the past, the only thing left for the Speaker of Parliament to have done was to adjourn the House, because also there was no agreement in terms of the other business that must be transacted, Evans.
Okay, so the NDC side isn't happy with this, because they will have to carry that burden in the new year when their side is sworn in as a new government. What's Atufo saying? Why has he been saying he's a minority leader?
Well, they have been resisting any attempt in particular to get to the invitation from the NPP side was that give us $350 million worth of tax waivers, give us some loans, the outstanding ones, give us the Supreme Court nominees, approve that for us so we can get to the mini budget. He did not buy together with his colleagues in leadership. And so today, when they also did not have any agreement at the pre-sitting meeting and the Speaker of Parliament decided that he was going to adjourn, he addressed the news conference right afterwards and said that this is on the head of the president, Nana Akufo-Addo, as well as the finance minister, Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam.
The NPP government has failed to comply with Article 180 of the Constitution of the Republic of Ghana to present the expenditure in advance of appropriation. In the spirit of good transition, it is expected that the outgoing president, acting pursuant to Article 180 of the Constitution, would have acted in good faith and bring before this Parliament a proposal for expenditure to cater for the first quarter of the year 2025. This was very important because the Appropriation Act for 2025 will not come into force on 1st of January 2025. Sadly, President Akufo-Addo planned to leave the public service uncatered for in the first quarter of the year 2025.
So concerns there for the NDC minority soon to become majority in 2025. What about the majority side, the current majority side? Their position over the last few days has been, well, you either play ball,
you don't get this.
You won't get this also. Is this still the opposition?
Well, that is the opposition to a certain extent. Alexander Afenyomaki, the majority leader, says if the House resumes on 2nd, they will consider putting this on the table for that to be done. But he blames all of this on what he says is quote-unquote lawless NDC, because they have refused to actually give in to some of their demands regarding the tax waivers and all these issues. He says when the Ghanaian public sector workers do not get their salaries at the end of January, if this stretches up until that point, the person who should be blamed are the NDC MPs.
The NDC minority has done all it can to frustrate government business. In Parliament, the procedure when a matter is introduced is to lay the paper, a referral made to a committee, and when the committee is done with its report, same is presented, debated, and a decision taken. The strategy of the NDC has been that in spite of all these procedures, they will not allow any paper to even be laid. Neither will they allow a report of a committee to even be tabled, debated, and all that. We've had Supreme Court nominees whose vetting Parliament has concluded and we are to table that report for motion to be taken on. They say they won't even allow the all-important free SHS bill. They again say they won't allow that to also be laid, let alone for the committee to take it for the bill to be considered, as well as the $250 million facility from the World Bank to support the financial sector. We've also had the 1D1F, where they themselves brought proposals to us, and government side accepted those proposals, which proposals led to the raw materials components being taken out, resulting in huge savings. And as a result, the committee completed its work. Again, the NDC lawless minority will not allow the report to be taken. Unfortunately, Mr. Speaker, whom we've all relied on to protect us, could not assure government, the majority, I mean, could not assure majority of controlling the NDC lawlessness. We were opposed to this adjournment, but he is a speaker. Now there are one major outstanding matter, the expenditure in advance of appropriation. In other words, the expenditure in account. To break it down, because the budget for 2024 ends on 31st December, there is a need for us to approve some expenditure on account until the new government comes out with its budget. We want to tell the people of Ghana that we as Democrats are ever ready to proceed to do this expenditure on account. There is no way we will ambush our own fortunes as a nation. It is rather the lawless NDC minority who have done all they can to obstruct government business. And they do not even care about the effect of our inability to undertake this constitutional obligation.
And Kuku, we are now learning about a strategy,
yes,
that the incoming administration has thought through,
yes,
to salvage the situation somewhat in 2025.
Yes, according to the minority leader, as soon as John Dramani Mahama is sworn in on the 7th of January, the vice president will be authorized. That is, when she's sworn in, Professor Nana Junupokwajiman will present this 68.1 billion Ghana Cedi that will keep the government open between 1st January and 31st March. And she will put that before Parliament. And the Parliament of Ghana is constituted in the 9th Parliament will immediately get to business on that.
Let me give assurance to the people of Ghana and all stakeholders that the NDC government that will take office on the 7th of January 2025 will act with dispatch to cater for expenditure for the first quarter of the year 2025. There's no cause for alarm, ladies and gentlemen. Even though there will be no finance minister on the 7th of January 2025, the vice president can present to this house the expenditure in advance of appropriation anytime after swearing in on the 7th of January 2025. Yeah. And this house will be properly constituted to expedite the approval of the same expenditure in advance of appropriation. While we are very disappointed about this development, we want to caution the outgoing Akufo-Addo Bawumia government that they will be responsible for all unmet commitment and obligation of state from the 1st of January to the 7th of January 2025.
And as you know, the salaries of nearly 700,000 public sector workers is now in limbo on the back of the failure of the finance minister to present this budget, the expenditure in advance of appropriation that will now not happen. And as you've just heard there, the incoming government will now have to find a way to resolve this immediately, possibly have to be their first order of business once they are sworn in. So how is Labour reacting to this outcome. I want to bring in Dr. Kwabena Otu. He's a Deputy Secretary General at the Trades Union Congress. Joins us on the line right now. Dr. Otu, thanks for your time here on Top Story. I'm pretty sure you've heard the news. How is the TUC and or workers in the public sector responding and reacting to this?
Good evening, and thanks for having me. So I heard the news. You are right. But I'm not too sure there's any cause for alarm, as the current minority just stated. I mean, the expenditure in advance of appropriation is there in the ministry. And once the president is sworn in, he can appoint anybody as his representative in the ministry to proceed to parliament and present those things. And between the 7th of January and about 20th, 25th of January, when those salaries have to be paid, I think that the incoming government has enough time and enough room to be able to advance such appropriation and pay workers. We do not really think that anybody should have an excuse because of what is happening to say that workers will not be paid. And thankfully, the incoming government has a super majority. So really, we do not think that there's any cause for alarm.
What then do you say about this could have been resolved today? In fact, could have been resolved on Monday. What do you say about the current government's failure to do this ahead of next year?
I wouldn't want to comment on that. We all know the politics, the partisanship that has more or less paralyzed this parliament. And we are thankful to Ghanaians that at least in the coming parliament, we have a clear majority. And I think that this country should not go through what we have gone through with the 8th Parliament. The politics, the TUC is not interested in that. What we are interested in is that on the come January, end of January, workers of Ghana must be paid. And we are clear in our minds that the state apparatus working with the incoming administration should be able to make payments for salaries and other statutory obligations at the end of January. We really don't think that there's much cause for alarm.
I take it then that you are completely reassured by what you heard from Dr. Kesla Tofose.
We are. And we will work with them, we will support them to make sure that the conduct of state affairs do not suffer. Because if it does, it's not only the politicians may not even suffer. It's the ordinary Ghanaian workers who suffer. So we are completely assured on that.
Thank you very much. That's Dr. Kwabena Otu, who is the Deputy Secretary General. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you too, Doctor. Great talking to you. And so, yes, if you're in the public sector, you just heard there from the TUC. They are calm, reassured on the back of the strategy we've just heard there, articulated by the minority leader. We expect now that on the midnight of the 6th into the 7th, when a new parliament is sworn in.
That is if there is money for parliament itself to sit.
To sit?
Yes.
You know, they will have to sit. And once the new government, new parliament is sworn in, and in the morning of the 7th,
yes.
Once John Dramani Mahama is sworn in with the vice, and they are sworn in. In Parliament.
Yes.
In
yes,
Parliament.
Yes.
Except that the Independence Square is turned into Parliament.
Yes.
And so the Speaker will have to now say, Independence Square will be the venue for their sitting. So they are sworn in before their representative. So all yes. They need to do right from the swearing in,
just come back.
They drive, short drive to the Parliament House, by which time possibly the proper Parliament House building would have been completed and the yes. renovation.
In fact, it's done. They have actually moved in there today.
So the first order of business, they move from Independence Square straight to the Parliament House, the floor, and then the Vice President,
yes.
President Jeinan Opoku-Ejimane, then presents this yeah. mini budget.
The Speaker spoke yesterday and said they can do this in one day maximum if
yes.
they get that.
So. Yes, and a certificate of urgency possibly.
Yes.
Quickly it's done, dusted, the next day money's available. And that's why the organized labor say they are not worried at all, they're reassured. And this is all coming on the back of the elections and coming up on Ghana Connect is something very related. What are you talking about, Kuku?
Well, John Dramani Mahama was elected with such an overwhelming support from the Ghanaian people. He had the TUC boss did say he has a great majority in parliament. A lot of expectation. In fact, John Mahama himself has outlined what he says is 120-day vision. And a lot of people are biting into that, asking questions, what exactly are you going to do? There's oral, become a big conversation this week. So we are gauging the public of the Ghanaian people, their sentiment that they are sharing. What do they expect of the incoming government once it's sworn in?
You want to stay for that. Ghanaians home and abroad are connecting on this right after this break.
Auntie T, I beg, fix me gobekete Ghana. No gari, no oil, no plantain, just beans then eggs.
Hey, bruh, that be dangerous combination, no.
Problem no day, I fit handle
for Telecel, with the bob say, everybody gets what they like. That be why Made For Me Bundles Day. Based on your usage, if you get your own data and call packages, falla! Made For Me, bundles like the way you want them. That's *530#, then buy Made For Me bundles today.
Telecell, connecting energies.
Couldn't sleep at night. Mosquitoes will be whining my ears. Bugging me all night long. Till I got a remedy. Now I'll be spraying them away with holy insecticide spray. I go spray them away with holy insecticide spray. When I sleep, I sleep. Me down on my back with holy insecticide spray.
Holy mosquito quell, holy multi-purpose insecticide spray. Ghana Chrome Chrome. For bulk purchase, call 0302-681582. This advert is FDA approved.
You deserve.
Welcome to Hevesy's, a gift concierge that offers you the best in luxury gifting. Hevesy's range of offerings span hampers, fresh flowers, baby baskets, heritage gifts, and branded souvenirs. Each package is thoughtfully created to be appropriate for the occasion and with the recipient in mind. Most importantly, we do our best with all budgets for a stress-free and impactful gifting experience. Elegance is our hallmark. That is why we call ourselves the purveyors of elegance. Contact Hevesy's on 055-594-0022. Locate us at 13 Ni Oyo Avenue behind American House East Legon. Hevesy's, purveyors of elegance.
Join us for the fourth live recording of Symphony Gospel Meets Orchestra, a night of carols and worship with orchestra arrangements like never before. This year's experience will be unforgettable, featuring Once More Six, South Africa, Shantae SA, South Africa, Lordina the Soprano, F.A. Grace, Kofi Osupepra, Luigi McLean, Prince Denzel, Grace Charles, Enyo Nyam, Shadrach, Kwesi Mensah, and many more. Date, December 22nd, 2024, 5 p.m. at the Palms Convention Center, La Palm Beach Hotel. Tickets, standard 150 CDs, VIP 300 CDs. Dial *713*33*99#, or visit ticketmiller.com, or buy from Vida Cafe at Junction Mall, Accra Mall, Stanbic Heights, East Legon, Frankie's Hotel, Airport Shell, Nalem Clothing, and Community 11 Tema. Sponsors: Concepts Ghana, ISEC, Secure Sanitary Part, Furniture GH, Media Partners, Multimedia Group, Joy FM, Joy Prime, Hits FM, Sunny FM, Channel One TV, Sweet Melodies, CTFM, GTV, and TV3. Book your seats now. Doors open at 5 p.m. Don't miss Symphonic Music 2024, an experience to relish.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Ghana Connect. Well, a little bit of a technical challenge here but this is Ghana Connect, and John Dramani Mahama was elected with such an overwhelming majority in the just ended election. He also has 2/3 majority, at least for now, in parliament. There's a battle out there for up to 8 of those seats in parliament, and that process is going to go on. John Dramani Mahama has a 120-day social contract, a number of plans and programs that he intends to implement when he's sworn in finally on the 7th of January. Of course, he's facing some budgetary issues, but the NDC have assured that as soon as he's sworn in, they will deal with that and ensure that that issue is dealt with and he has the resources to be able to do his work. And so tonight on the show, What exactly do Ghanaians think about the 120-day social contract, for instance, and what do they expect of the government once it gets into office on the 7th of January? What do they have to tell John Dramani Mahama? He listens to Joy FM. He watches Joy News a lot. So if you have a message to the president in waiting, please do share that with us, 055-111-1997, 055-111-1997. We connect on these matters right after this break.
The other day, I visited Kweku at his spunky new office to congratulate him on opening his business. And man, was I impressed. The business is just moving quick. The sales, customers, everything is just working seamlessly. The secret? He said,
it's MTN Business Broadband. In this fast-paced environment, we need fast and reliable internet to support all business types. No laggy online meetings, great download and upload speeds, impeccable business management systems, all inclusive. I mean, you can have it all.
Shout! I signed on immediately.
To enable your business stay ahead and stay connected, make sure you're signed on to the best internet made just for businesses. MTN Business Broadband. Sign up today on broadband.mtn.com.gh. And manage your account on my MTN app. Call 0244-308-111 for more information. We are good together everywhere you go.
Hooray! The Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited is organizing its end-of-year furniture promotional sales from the 15th of November to the 31st of December this year. Kingdom Books and Stationery is giving away a whopping 10 to 15% discount on all furniture at our furniture shops. Head office, Akweji, Osu near the Osu Cemetery, Tema, Komti 4, Takrady, opposite Fijai Maze Plaza, Cape Coast University Bookshop, Spintex Road near Absa Bank, Atomic, Centerpoint Mall, Winneba, University Campus, KNU USD, the University Bookshop, Santasi in Kumasi. You can also visit and shop online at www.kingdomstoreonline.com. Hurry while stock lasts. For further inquiries, contact us on 050-162-0810 or 0302-764101 or email us at info@kingdomgh.com. Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited, where quality and affordability is assured. Terms and conditions apply.
Essence, your bush and your strong continue. You can say your pep student, you didn't also a canny man.
Hey, woman, we could hear wo, no, he wole, was sure. Nana, no, ne, whatever.
Hey, I am poor. Oh, didn't that so?
Imamina,
hey, if I see me, dear.
One so bit to me, the dinner to president, to be park, no, so. But we bush, yes, I will buy more who do. For we need to rest to a bear, will not come to president, to be park. Every year, check the incredible yet to
ready for another exciting and memorable time with the family as we bring you yet another fun-packed edition of the Joy FM Family Party in the Park.
Set in the Ebri Botanical Gardens, families will once again be treated to lots of bonding and fun activities such as cooking competitions, tag of peace, sack race, musical chairs, dancing competitions, and so much more.
Guess what? We're taking it a notch higher this year. There will be a whole food village where some of your favorite food brands will be present, so you don't need to bother about food at all.
And the new games village will be lit with assorted 3D games, FIFA, and many others. This Christmas, Santa will be there with his bag of goodies for the family.
That's not all. Kamido, Kwampa, Kwabina Kwabina, and many other artists will mount the stage to light up the party.
The Joy FM Family Party in the Park is simply the place to be for families this Christmas.
Mark the date, 26th of December 2024.
Ebri Botanical Gardens, 10 a.m. sharp. Tickets are going for only 200 Ghana cedis for a family of six.
To purchase your ticket, use the short code *714*003*3#. Select Party in the Park and follow the prompt.
The Joy FM Family Party in the Park is brought to you by Frito Cooking Oil. You deserve a life of goodness. Fortune Low Fat Spread for Bread. Always on point. DBS Roofing Industry, your roof expert. Velton's Beer, distributed by Kingdom Books and Stationery. Aquaba Bottled Mineral Water. Day by Day Men, distributed by Dream Cosmetics. Joy FM Family Party in the Park, creating memorable family moments.
Rovan Festival of Plays is a perfect gift for the holidays.
In partnership with Joy FM and National Theatre, Rovan Productions brings you the Rovan Festival of Plays.
24th and 25th December, The Foreplay.
28th December, Dubai or No Set.
29th December, Naked Imbe.
1st and 2nd January, I Want to Feed You.
4th January, Takeover.
And 5th January, Bananas and Groundnuts.
Showing at the National Theatre at 4 and 8 p.m. on each day at 200 CDs per play.
For a 25% discount, get a festival pack of 5 or more tickets.
Tickets available at regular outlets, Rovan app, and via short code
*365*535#. Call 050-554-6010 for inquiries.
Sponsors: Star Life Assurance,
Secure Sanitary Pack,
Royal Cozy Hills Hotel, Stan Big Bang,
Koba,
Gino Jollof Mix, M Notify,
and Tealy's Tea. Rovan Productions. Be the difference.
Welcome back to Ghana Connect. They say heavy is the head that wears the crown. And John Dramani Mahama has won this crown before, and it was very heavy. He lost by nearly a million votes in 2016 and has made a comeback with nearly 1.7 million votes. He has huge expectations from the Ghanaian public, and that is why we are connecting on this important conversation. Connecting with us, Kala Olimpio is one of my favorites when it comes to Ghana Connect. Kala, it's good to have you connect with us after a very, very, very long break.
Hello, Kweku. Happy to be here.
Great.
Merry Christmas in advance.
Great, 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 great. Julius Anthony used to speak for the party when it came to his manifesto on youth and all that, and he's connecting with us. Julius, it's good to have you connect with us.
Good evening, Kweku. It's a pleasure to be here as usual.
Nana Kakari is a Ghanaian journalist based in the United States of America. Nana, it's good to have you connect with us.
Thank you, Kweku.
Razak Swali is the president of the Teacher Trainees Association of Ghana. Razak, it's good to have you connect with us.
Yes, good evening, and it's good to be part of this conversation.
And then connecting in studio is Mayfred Osei. Mayfred, it's good to have you connecting in studio with us.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
So let me start a conversation with you because you are here with us, and then I'll go to Carla, Julius, Nana, and Swali, who are joining us virtually. I mean, it's been a very tough election. A lot has been said. Some have said that, listen, the country is at a place where we don't have time for honeymoon and everything.
Right.
The government need to hit right at it. What are your key expectations of John Dramani Mahama when he assumes office in 2 weeks?
Okay, so judging by what he promised us, I'm expecting him to, right away, as he promised, in his first 90 days, he's going to scrap off e-levy, the COVID levy, 10% levy on betting winnings, and the emission levy. So, because right now we are in a state where taxes are literally draining us down as a society, especially the e-levy. That's like my number one priority. I need him to actually get rid of that e-levy tax. Yes. So in the first 90 days, I am expecting, as he promised.
It says 120. It says 120.
But it says here, in his first 120. Yes.
Yes.
He says within my first 90 days in office.
Okay.
Within my first 90 days in office. So, Mr. President-elect, we will be waiting. Thank you.
Especially since he will be presenting his first budget. And Carla, it's a big saying that what is said on the campaign trail usually does not translate into governance. And so a lot of promises may have been made. Where do you think the president should be adjusting? But even before we get into some of those substantives, what are your own expectations of the incoming government led by John Dramani Mahama?
So my expectations are, I don't want to restrict myself to the first 120 days. He's given us his contract. We'll see about that. Number one, I want to see a listening government. I want to see a government that shows to the people of Ghana that they appreciate that essentially the people of Ghana are their employers, right? That is the nature of the relationship between our elected officials and us, right? They're leaders, yes, but they're employed to work on behalf of us. I'd like to see that, number one. I would like to see, very importantly, that they put in some laws, checks and balances to restrict campaign spending during elections. Because I think that leads to a lot of corruption, right? and expectations of corruption. And then, while, I mean, there's a lot of talk about oil, and of course, I believe that as a nation, we should recover monies that have unlawfully been looted from the company. But I would like them to do it with fairness and transparency and accountability. I am uncomfortable with some of the language that I'm seeing, not necessarily from the team that has been chosen itself, but more broadly, I don't want to see any kind of witch hunting. You know, the idea that anybody can report anybody. We've seen those kinds of things in this country before, and I think that we should, you know, make sure that there are guardrails to make sure that it's fair. I think for now, that's it.
Okay.
Just one more thing, Kweku. And just the perception of corruption. You know, it's not just about the actual money stolen. When you speak to a lot of people in Ghana now, particularly a lot of young people, they all think that going into politics is about making money, because that is what they feel that they have seen. I go into politics, I make money. So because of what our leaders are showing us, we're raising an entire generation of Ghanaians who feel that that's what politics is about. So we're not creating a problem for today. We're creating a problem for tomorrow. So that must be nipped in the bud.
I mean, great thoughts there. I mean, Swale Razak, you are the president of the Teacher Trainees Association of Ghana. John Dramani Mahama is the man that cancelled the teacher trainee allowance in before 2016. It was restored. He has made a commitment that he will keep it running for now before there will be a broad conversation. Have you and your trainees had a change of mind in terms of the argument the NDC had usually put forward that, listen, you don't need these allowances. These allowances must be reinvested in your colleges so that you can recruit more teachers, get to admit more students and all that?
Yes, good evening, and good evening to your listeners, and good evening to all my colleague students in the colleges of education. To us as teacher trainees, the return of John Dramani Mahama, although it's a relief for most Ghanaians, but to us there are certain expectations we expect him to do. Yes, we know the two teacher training allowances is having on government expenditure, and then also you equally bear with me the kind of relief and kind of support this teacher training allowance gives to teacher trainees across all the public colleges of education. So for us, we are expecting him, just like he has done before, when he was not president and he was getting to run for the office, by engaging with us and consulting with the stakeholder, organizing the stakeholder forum where we can address the issues in the colleges of education. We have infrastructure challenges, the allowances is one, the feeding system in the college is poor, and other issues that are in the that have long existed in the college space for a very long time.
So, Swale, I don't intend to litigate this matter around whether to pay the allowances or not, but you say you have infrastructure challenges. There's a lot of challenges with the with colleges of education. But you still expect government to give you allowances just for being students. I mean, there are colleagues in the University of Ghana who do education who come out to teach. They don't get allowances.
Good. So I think I like your observation, but if you look at the colleges of education, the colleges of education actually are to train teachers. But if you look at the universities are just they are teaching a lot of courses. In the college space, the focus is to come out with teachers. The teaching and learning the students do at the university is kind of different, because you have a total number of people, and then they don't even teach them pedagogy. But when you come to the college space, they teach pedagogy and other things. That makes one a well-rounded teacher. Now, when you look at the colleges again, most people are of the perception that a college of education is not befitting, it's not something one should pursue. These allowances also help encourage people to take up the teaching profession. So by so doing, we are solving the problem of teacher scarcity that we have across the country. Bear with me, there are some teachers that are still even lacking teachers. You have from basic one to basic six with only one teacher. These are genuine issues we should be looking at, and then looking at how to get qualified and professional teachers to fill into this voice.
Great. Nanaka Kari, I want to hear from you briefly. You are a Ghanaian, you are based in the US. You see the quality of governance outside there, you see here. We've spoken a lot about the challenges you had with the President Akufo-Addo's government and his governance style in general. We have a new president coming in 2 weeks, max. What are your own top-level expectations?
You know what? The president-elect, days after he was elected, had an exclusive interview with Voice of America. And he did mention that his focus was on the economy, you know, to cut expenditures and raise revenues. I mean, that was the pillar of his campaign. And so that's what I'm expecting him to follow through with that. We're talking about, you know, governance. The United States right now is on the brink of shutting down today at midnight because our lawmakers cannot come to an agreement of funding the government. And so it will be interesting to see what transpires in Ghana as well. Personally, I would like to see, as a Ghanaian, I would like to see transparency. I would like to see accountability, and I would like to see honesty. I know they set up the 120, a five-member group to, you know, look into corruption, what have you. But let me make this clear. The corruption is not just on the MPP. The MPP has highlighted this corruption ongoing in Ghana right now. But the corruption is everywhere. It doesn't matter. NDC, MPP is everywhere. So I'm hoping, when I saw the five-member group, my first reaction was, you know, I wanted to see a bipartisan group. I know Ablaka is an MPP. You know, I'm not sure of the other four people, their party affiliation, but Ablaka is NDC. I would have liked to see an MPP, hardcore ND MPP person in the team too, just to balance it. However, I am happy that the member group is diverse. I saw an auditor general. I saw an investigative journalist. You know, also, I think there might be, with that diversive group of people, there might be some honesty and transparency in it. But if we are fighting corruption, we shouldn't just focus on corruption within the MPP. Yes, we saw MPP, the corruption within the MPP orbit, but there's corruption everywhere. So they have to look within the NDC team, within other political parties, and Ghanaian as a whole.
I mean, Julius, you've heard from Mayfred in the studio. She is looking at the taxes John Dramani Mahama has promised. But this week, one of the big conversations that has come up is the hole that will be sunk into Ghana's financing when you cancel e-levy, the betting tax, and all these things. You campaigned with prose, but sometimes you campaign with poetry, but you govern with prose sometimes. Are you sure you will be able to, NDC will be able to fulfill some of these key promises and not risk a very, 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 terrible finances?
Thank you very much, and a very good evening to your listeners. If there's one thing I'm certain of, is the fact that President John Dramani Mahama is pursuing a legacy. And part of that legacy is to ensure that he leaves the impression on Ghanaians that our system, this 1992 constitution and its democratic configuration that it has set up for us, can really work. Part of the things that must be shown to be working is that when politicians make promises, they will be held to account to them. Mm-hmm. And so President Mahama made a clear plan, a 120-day plan that he wants to execute to demonstrate how he's going to begin the things that he's going to do. Among that plan is the elimination of the taxes you speak about. I have absolutely no doubt that those taxes would be removed. And our plan to reduce the size of government by cutting our ministerial appointments to a minimum of, a maximum of 60, would reduce the size of the government itself. If we cut out the waste in some of the activities that have been engaged by President Akufo-Addo in Office of Government Machinery as well and all that, I think that we can be able to make up for the losses. But you see, Kweku, there are a few things I was going to touch on from the responses that were made by the previous speakers. Let's not be pacifists. We shouldn't pacify the MPP and start making talks of there's corruption everywhere and blah, 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 and all those things. Let's stop this. We saw what happened under President Mahama when corruption issues came up. Victoria Hamoli stated an intention to make $1 million. He was sacked. Bus branding case. My own, my then minister, Jifa Atibo, was asked to go home.
But the money was even retrieved by the Chief Justice, Julius Debra. President Mohamed's own friend, Abu Gapeli, was prosecuted. When we suspected corruption in NSS, we did an inquiry into it, and people were prosecuted and jailed. So why do we go on this pacifist tangent and start saying that they're two and all of those things? And the committee that was set up, it was set up to include people who are security experts, legal experts, and all of those things. The Honorable Kujeto Ablakwa is the only out-and-out NDC person in there. You want us to put MPP people in there so that they leak information to the people we are coming after, that they will be arrested? And I want to say this, this whole talk of witch hunting and all of those things. The president-elect has stated a clear position that he is not going to witch hunt anybody. But I want to borrow a quote from Manasseh Awuniezuri today on Twitter, where he said at exactly 2:53 p.m., that there is absolutely nothing wrong with political witch hunting. If the hunted are indeed malevolent witches, what we have seen over this period, is it not witchcraft for somebody to give $2 million of taxpayer money to someone and say they are going to build sky train and it never happened? Is it not witchcraft for the president's daughter to go and repair ambulances, the cost of one exceeding the cost of purchasing a brand new ambulance? Are all these things not witchcraft? Is it not witchcraft to sing $58 million across the streets at Ridge and say you are building a national cathedral? Mm. And so if we witch hunt them, then what? Then what?
I like that question. Let me bring it back to Mayfred Osei. And I mean, young people had a lot of expectations going into this election. There were a lot of these taxes. You talked about e-levy for boys, but like Papani, the betting tax was so big for them because of his bet winnings and the issues that comes with it. Do you sense that John Dramani Mahama should be putting this corruption agenda so much on the agenda, or you think you have some priority areas for him that you believe he should focus on as a way of leaving a legacy?
Okay, I think John Dramani Mahama is actually on the right path with Team Oral. I 100% support that for lack of a better expression, go after the numerous scandals we had under the MPP. I follow the Fourth Estate very well, and let's say every 3 to 4 business working days, there's a new scandal. And I think even today, they presented the National Service Ghost names to Team Oral, and I fully support that. I think we, the youth, I'm speaking for the youth right now, we support that John Dramani Mahama goes after the numerous scandals and the millions of Ghana cedis that have been wasted under the NPP.
So if you look at job creation, for instance,
mm-hmm.
do you sense that you've heard a lot from the NDC that should make Ghanaian young people be at ease because unemployment is so huge?
Yes.
And people have been speaking about that.
Yes. On the matter of unemployment, over the years, there have been so many graduates coming out of Ghana, and I graduated school in 2022, and up until now, some of my peers are still struggling. I know people that graduated 6-5 years ago, and they are still trying to find something to do. So on the promises of John Mahama creating employment for Ghanaians, we are actually hoping and then looking up to him to see that he does something for us, the youth, because as he said, unemployment rates are out of the roof here in Ghana. It's actually skyrocketing.
Yeah.
And then on a lighter, not very lighter note, okay, you said John Mahama does listen here. So Accra is dark.
Yeah.
Accra is very, very dark.
No
personally, I am someone that doesn't see well at night.
Yeah.
When I'm coming home at night, I am terrified. I am looking outside. I'm sharing my location with my friends. I think I am here. I think I'm not here. I don't know. Accra is very dark. So I'd like Team Oral to investigate whoever was supposed to keep Accra lights at night on the numerous street lights we have on our streets, and if they can, John Dramani Mahama, please light up Accra.
I mean, I think that's a very good point. Someone was saying on Twitter recently that
our street lights do not work in Accra.
In Accra, you drive
at
by
night.
Memory. You drive
it's
by memory.
Exactly. You need to know where you're going.
Where the portal is, not when you're driving and all that. I think it's good. And I mean, Kala, Mayfred just ended on the point of youth unemployment. It's so big.
Yeah.
But it cuts across in terms of the promises. Do you get the sense that, listen, given all that we've heard about the state of the economy and everything, Ghanaians should perhaps lessen the expectations? Do you think Ghanaians should take the government to task immediately it is sworn in, or perhaps give it some time? I remember on the campaign trail, John Mahama talked about getting a honeymoon, and he was flagged for it.
So, realistically, Kweku, sometimes I blame the politicians themselves, right? Because, you know, they make promises because they know that the promises are going to help them win elections. But they know in their hearts that these are not, you know, workable. Of course, we want jobs. I mean, I have been in companies where you're running a recruitment drive for a front desk person, and you get applications even from people with master's degrees. One lady who was studying for her PhD. You know, the CEO said to this lady, he was like, do you want this job? And she said, yes, because she's been home for 2 years. We definitely need employment. We need the city to be stabilized. We need the economy to stabilize. We need there to be a positivity in the business world. But can this be done in 3 months or 6 months or even a year? Can you suddenly create jobs? There are so many things that go into it. So, yes, I do think Ghanaians should temper their expectations. I don't think that that means that they shouldn't be holding our politicians accountable. And I definitely think that Mr. Mahama is, you know, after this is his second term, I do think he's going to be here for legacy. But I do think Ghanaians should temper their expectations. And you know what? I listened to Dr. Omane Boamah talking about how they planned for the election, right? How he gave exams to polling agents, how he sent a lawyer to each constitution. I thought to myself, wow, the level of planning, efficiency, how he had people competing for to create the IT system, how he did not want to give it to people who were coming and it looked like they just wanted to make money out of it, right? They had a plan A, they had a plan B, they had a plan C, and they had a plan D. I would like to see the government apply that same level of thoughtfulness, efficiency, plugging all loopholes to the actual management, because I think Ghana would be a completely different place if they did.
Nana Gakari.
Yeah, you know, I do agree. We covered the campaign extensively here on Joy News, and we talked about how they made numerous promises, and the question was, can they fulfill all of them? And I agree, you know, when you're on the campaign trail, you will say anything and do anything to get the vote of Ghanaians. But when you take office in President-elect Mahama's case on January 7th is when we are going to see the real deal. Now, Ghanaians should know everything is not going to fall on Ghana like manna from heaven, right? So the expectations that once Mahama takes office, the economy is going to get better, the unemployment is going to get better, infrastructure is going to just turn around for positive, everything. No, it's not going to happen overnight. It is a process that we all together have to support the government from doing. Talking about the corruption, and when I say corruption, looking at everyone, I stand on it. You cannot be fair when you are dealing with corruption and just focus on one political party or one institution.
But the other political party, when it was in government, was prosecuting its people. The one which is just handing over.
You know what? Let's not talk about what he did 2016. We got to move forward. You know what? Let me finish. We are moving forward. Nobody, no Ghanaian want to go back to 2016. It's a different time right now. It's 2020.
It's the same guy from 2016 who was prosecuting his own people. That's
not people change, that right? People change. And listen.
I have been prosecuted his friend Abu Gapele. So from the same kind of narrative you try to push.
Good. I'm not betraying anything. I'm stating the fact that
you are not stating any fact.
Okay. That's my opinion.
MPP government.
That's my opinion.
Okay. Julius.
The two sides are
okay,
the same.
Okay. Julius. Good point. But let Nana make
to his corrupt.
Okay, Julius. I'll come to you pretty shortly. But let Nana make that point, and then I'll come to you right after that. Nana Gakari, please conclude on the point you are making.
What I care about.
Hello, Julius. Julius, because Nana Gakari is making her point now, I want you to hold on. Hold on. Let her make her point. I'll come to you, and then you have a rebuttal. You can make that, please.
Thank you. I have been one of very critical of this MPP government. Yes, the corruption is real. The corruption is rampant under this current administration. What I am simply saying is that you can look at somebody else when you have skeleton in your own closet, right? The NDC is not perfect. Let's not stand here and say that the MP NDC is squeaky clean. They are not. There is corruption within the NDC orbit, just as there's corruption in the MPP orbit, and the same corruption in strong institutions across Ghana. And what I'm saying is, yes, I do support this initiative 100%. What I want to see is a fair and a fair investigation going not only to a specific group of people or companies, but to every Ghanaian. That's what I'm saying. And whoever doesn't understand, and if you don't understand, you can go and paint all the list of things that Mahama did in 2016. Ghana has to move forward. We are not looking back. Understood? Now, moving forward to what I want to also say. Moving away from
okay,
the corruption.
Nana, I'll come to you. Nana, hold that one for me, the point before we come to corruption. Julius, do you sense that the NDC might be a victim of its own campaign? The way you heighten promises. And John Dramani Mahama has not even assumed office, but there are expectations. You use Twitter a lot, and you see the people out there telling you what they want to see as soon as John Dramani Mahama is sworn into office.
Yeah. Yes, I don't believe we'll be a victim of our own campaign. I believe that John Dramani Mahama in his experience has thought out very well the things he has put out there that he will be doing for the people of Ghana. More importantly, because he has a track record in the doing of the things. The points with the highest expectations are the areas of job creation, especially. Young people are looking forward to President John Dramani Mahama to fix the structural challenges of this country, which caused our currency depreciation, which causes us to lose the value chains that would ordinarily create jobs for our people. Through his policies and initiatives like the 24-hour economy, which is intended to address those structural issues, when we invest in our most productive sectors like manufacturing and all of that, we can create the needed value chains and create jobs for our young people. Our target is to at least reduce the rate of unemployment we have now through our initiatives. In our digital job initiatives, for example, we are looking at 160,000 jobs if we create models of the Accra Digital Center across the country, which could give young people, you know, jobs in business processing, outsourcing, and knowledge processing, outsourcing areas, and all of those things. We are also going to invest in farm services centers and all that to provide the needed support for our farmers to increase agricultural productivity. And also, we have a clear plan on those things that we want to do. What also must be clear on the issue of corruption is that I trumpet President Mahama's record because the whole idea that oral should be poo-pooed, oral should be, you know,
is this a political platform?
And oral should be denigrated from because the two parties are the same kind of narrative. I am never going to buy it on any platform on any day. And the reason is simple. Those who push this narrative ignore the clear distinguishing features between the New Patriotic Party and the National Democratic Congress. Let me tell you this. If you make claim of us moving forward, then we must move forward in honesty and we must move forward in truth. It is quite disingenuous, quite dishonest, and it's marks of, in fact, lying to say that we should ignore the character and nature of the person who is about to take over government in dealing with a subject matter which you are addressing. That is dishonesty. You must be able to point to that track record and speak of expectation. If he has punished his officials in the past for doing acts which are deemed as corrupt acts, then he is the same guy, he's going to do it again. So now that we are talking about acts which have been done by members of the governing New Patriotic Party, let's speak to how it can be prosecuted. Let's speak to how our monies can be recovered. Let's speak to the modus operandi, whether they are proper or not. But to try and bandy the two political parties together because it sounds cool or any of those things, please. Mm. We are past that stage.
We are past that stage. And Swale, that's why I want to bring you in terms of all these big conversations that have been had about that. But I'm just reading about CTAG planning to go on strike again and all these issues. Do you sense there are real reforms that must be done with teacher education, teacher training, education in the country?
Yes, when it comes to teacher education, there are certain things that needs to be put in place for us to move forward. Like I was saying before, you step in and then you said you were going to come back and then I'll contribute. If you look at the teacher education in the country right now, it looks as if
It has not been gotten the much attention it needed. You look at the senior high schools, more of attention from GEFAN, some donors, government. They are doing well, even though we have about almost 700 plus senior high school in the country. You look at the universities, they are also getting a bit of attention. But what seems to be left out has to do with the colleges of education, who are left in the middle with just little of attention. You come to look at our infrastructure, you come to look at DC tax strike action. Yes, the colleges have been upgraded to be an awarding institution, which means that when students go enroll in this college of education, they are now going to come out with a degree. That means that the teachers in the school have also have to be upgraded. And government so know this well, even before the implementation of the new curriculum in the colleges of education, and what must be done in the colleges of education before the colleges can really award the degree that it has been enrolled. So all these conversations were there long before. Government knew that this has to be done, but I think there was some speedy implementation of the whole initiative that is bringing us these results, because now that we are running a BEd curriculum, but we don't have the needed infrastructure to run such a thing, and the allowance is not is a problem. Our teachers are going on strike for now and then. Now you would even come to realize that there is always a strike action every year, every academic year. CETA would have to go on strike, and it will always be to demand for the condition of service. CETA has issued a notice; they are going on strike by December 20th. We have received it, and then we are expecting that when the next government comes in, is going to dialogue CETAC and other relevant stakeholders to ensure
to try and find some common grounds,
long and long-lasting solutions to it. I said, with my expectation, with what we expect from the teacher training colleges, is about the stakeholder engagement. Okay. Engaging with the stakeholder, finding out what the problems are, let the stakeholders proffer the solutions, and then you implement. I believe that's government is a way of running the affairs of the state by consulting the people that matter. And who are the people that matter? The stakeholders. You get the decisions from them, you get the suggestions from them, and then overall, you see how you can implement
it. And then you implement it in such a way that, I mean, it fits into the broader goal. I like the point that you make. And Carla and Nanaka Kari, I want to get your joint point on this before I come back to the studio. The president is still making appointments. In fact, when he appointed a transition team, his transition team, there was only one woman, Valerie Sawyer. He appointed an oral team, there was no woman. There are those who said that two appointments so far, two teams so far, they don't kind of feel enough. Mahama promised on a campaign trail to reserve 30% of appointments at least for women. Progressive enough, and you sense that what we have seen in the first two set of appointments will give a certain impression of the kind of appointments he'll be making when he assumes office 7 January. Carla.
Before I come to that, I would like to say to Julius that I don't know whether Julius is a politician or not, but he's sounding like it, right? And on the issue of corruption, Ghanaians are tired of political parties pretending that they only see corruption when somebody else is doing it, okay? And the fact is, yes, the NDC now has been given a massive mandate. Oral is about the current government, but the Ghanaian on the street no longer wants there to be some ghastly merry-go-round where each party comes in and acts like there's no corruption within their ranks. And if you speak like that, you are perpetuating some of the same problems that Ghanaians are tired of. So that's number one. Let us not repeat those mistakes, right? Everybody is capable of corruption. Let it not be that we are not corrupt, only the other side is corrupt, until the other side comes to power. We're tired of that.
It is not true when we have a record of punishing.
Okay, Julius, I'll come to you. So please, just let Carla land on that. She will make a point on the gender appointments, and I'll come to you, please.
Everything you have to say. And I think it is time to listen to what the citizens of Ghana are
saying. No, Julius. Please hold on. Let Carla make her point. Carla, please make the point for me on the appointment, the gender appointment thing.
On the appointments, Regarding women, 30%, I think it's good. To be fair, I actually think that President Akufo-Addo, to give him credit, gave a lot of women quite important positions, right? From deputy governor, bank of governor, to this or that. I think the 30% goal is helpful. I think having a female vice president is wonderful. I heard her herself give a lecture talking about how she's never really been comfortable being given kudos merely for being a woman in a role, right? Rather than her competence. And so that's what we want to see. There are so many competent women. Women are 50% of Ghana. We want to see competent, intelligent, ethical women in roles, and we want to see the same of men. So the 30%, I think for me, it depends on who. It depends on how they act. It depends on their capabilities, rather than them just being women. But yes, absolutely, I think it's a good start. I think it's fantastic to have a female vice president. And I think people have to stop talking about her like she's some frumpy old grandma, because she's actually a highly intelligent, interesting, and, you know, lady with her own opinions and agenda. So let us give her that respect.
Okay, Carla, let me give you this in 30 seconds. Would you mind if an appointment is given and it's not given to a woman if the other person is qualified, so that even if you don't meet the 30% quota, or you say, like many have said, they are qualified women, you need to find them and give them the appointment?
You know what? And I think the 30%, the 30% women is a good idea, but I'm all for, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion. That said, that doesn't mean that just because you want 30% women in your orbit or in your administration means you can just pick up anybody from the street or anybody who doesn't qualify for the job and put them there because of their gender. I don't think that would be good in any developmental countries, or that would be good in the government, the governance that he has put forth that he wants to do. So yeah, 30%, but you still have to look into qualification. Who qualified for the job, and, you know, go for that person. If it's a man that qualified for the job, yeah, so be it. You pick the man. If it's a woman, so be it. Let's not just get blinded so much so for, oh, you know, I want a 30% women, so I'm going to pick anybody, any woman that I can get to fill out these positions. Pick people who actually qualify for the job and people who can actually do the job for Ghanaian people.
Yeah, Mifred?
Okay, so I feel like in a country where there are more women than men, it's only right that when there are appointments, we see women. So your question was if we feel John Mahama is sticking to his promise of the 30% representation, because the first two appointments, his first transition team was just a woman.
Yes, Valerie Sawyer was the only female on that team.
And then with Team Oral,
there's no woman.
There was no woman.
And it's you women make good detectives.
Exactly. So there was actually an uproar. There was like a whole debate on Twitter. Yeah. And I think Joyce Bauer came out to say that she agrees with the fact that we are asking for a woman on Team Oral, and she'll be waiting for the president-elect to do that. So yes, you promised that representation and would want to see that.
Great.
Because women are competent and women can do also what the men are doing in politics.
Great. Yes. Julius, in 30 seconds, the women appointment thing. I saw some of your responses on X about a Team Oral and all the issues that have come up. John Mahama, can he meet that 30% mark?
I think he would get the 30% done. I must say that on the debate on Twitter, honestly, looking at the kind of campaign we run and the expectation we actually give Ghanaians, I think my side of the debate is wrong. Because in as much as I think that the primary consideration is not gender, but representation in terms of the various areas that the president-elect thought necessary for his collection of information and subsequent prosecution of people and, you know, collecting our monies back in government. When we run a campaign telling people that we are more progressive and that people make that demand, we ought to listen to them. So I must concede that I got that wrong. But on the other issues about going into the future, I'm sure the president is going to fulfill his promises of at least a 30% in his cabinet appointment. But you see, Kweku, just sum up in the last thing. What I'm saying on this whole corruption issue is that...
Oh, my goodness.
Do that in 15 seconds.
We only see corruption on the other side.
And I am pointing you.
That is what it looks like to the average Ghanaian on the street.
Even with
well, this is a big conversation, and I see that Nanaka Kari is already coming in, and Kala is coming in, so it'll go on and go on. I think we need to have some good time. Oral is a big thing. Eggs, everybody's interested about oral, so people are talking about that. But this one is from Victor, listening to us from Keta. He says, Kweku, President-elect Mahama will not be a stiff-necked, intolerant, and wicked president. If he's unable to fulfill any of the items listed in the contract, I believe he'll go back to the people of Ghana and explain to them, giving reasons for his inability to achieve those goals. Edmond from Spintech says, with the mess the current government has created, if Jawama can focus on lighting the country, recover all the looted cash, restart the toll booths across the country, he would have met my expectation. This one is from JEM from Salaga. He says, I just want to caution Ghanaians against having such high expectations about a JM-led government, and talks about the 120-day social contract. Tomorrow on Newsfile, probing the oral, recollation, and transition blues. And you know now, Newsfile starts at 8 o'clock a.m. You don't have to miss. Right here on Joy FM and on the Joy News channel. Mary Awalina Ada is on. Samuel Okudutua Blackwa, Reverend Dr. Fred Digbe, Oliver Bakavomawo, Dr. John Osai Kwapon, and Frank Davis. You don't have to miss Newsfile. My name is Kweku Asante. Thank you very much, Mayfred. Thank you very much, Razak. Thank you very much, Carla, Julius, and Nanaka Kari. I'll see you guys same time. Perhaps our next show will be in the new year. But until then, I wish all of you a happy, happy, happy new year in advance. And Merry Christmas. Enjoy with those who celebrate. And please take good care of yourselves. I'll see you again when I see you.
It's another Christmas, and as is always tradition for 13 years running, it's time to host you in your lovely costumes on Christmas Day.
Merry Christmas!
Run! I think the GPS is acting up.
I think he was sending us the wrong way.
They're here, people! Look alive!
Well, what are the odds? One group certainly does not belong here.
We are your guests.
Is that?
Yes, that's Santa Claus.
Poster.
Imposter.
Imposter. Imposter. Send me.
I don't trust that green guy.
Now that rates him, we are not trust.
We have to look for the phone cables and then disconnect them.
And then we blame it on those bad guys.
You see those imposters, those green people. If I were you, I would choke my eyes on that.
Lock the gate and release the dog.
Forsaking me.
One Night Guest in cinemas 25th December.
Burlington Music Group presents the 9th Beam Fest Up and Running Beach Edition. Happening live on Sunday, 22nd December 2024 at the La Palm Royal Beach Hotel. Come witness the electrifying and captivating performance of the Afro Dancehall Pele, Stone Boy, a.k.a. The Torture.
No matter what they take
for tickets, visit beamfestival.com or dial *714*24#. Early bird tickets now selling for 200 Ghana cedis. Gates open at 3 p.m. sharp, with state performances starting at 7 p.m. Call 050-15-50-000 for inquiries. This event is powered by Burlington Music Group and Gig Kids.
What's up? I know for Cassia.
What's up?
Ting ting niti eki.
What's up?
From me no one say your body bad girl.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
What happens when ancient days meet modernity? What happens when a goddess wakes up in an era of digital chaos? Witness the epic battle between the past and the present. Catch the intrigue and suspense in Amwanime's era, a brand new epic telenovela, showing Mondays to Fridays on Akwaba Magic, DSTV channel 150 and GoTV channel 102. Available on DSTV Access and GoTV Plus. Dial *759# to stay connected.
I am George Chum Berima, number 11 on the ballot paper. It is in our interest to ensure that no matter what we do everything in our power not to cause any riot or cause any disturbance or allow ourselves to be used by any political figures or party for any mischievous activity. We have to also ensure that on election day, we go peacefully, we vote, and we go back to our homes, and we wait for the results to be declared as it's supposed to be. And if we all go through this process, I believe that we will go through this election. God shall give us whom he has willed and chosen and anointed to be our next president. And we will have a country still secured, peaceful, and ready to actually move from third world to first world.
Joy 99.7 FM.
Need parts now? O'ReillyAuto.com offers in-store pickup, same-day home delivery, or next-day home shipping. Get more parts your way at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.